Cliff Central.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.
Download the Cliff Central app. Available now on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central. It's Thursday afternoon. It's 2 p.m. You know what time it is, of course, then. Cliffy, you know what time it is.
My favorite time and day of the week. I'm so excited to be here. And just something unique is happening in studio today. There's lots of great energy, and I think we're going to get great tips on how to interact with people and how to relax in the rush pace of Johannesburg and the world that we live in.
Exactly that. We are going to be talking some, I guess we can call it networking skills, but let's really call what it is. Or ask the question, are you really good at making a first impression, Cluby?
You tell me.
Well, no. Our guest will tell us, I think, in a moment. But then at the second half hour, we're talking to another startup, Woodland Spa. We were there. It was a great place.
Take me back.
Yeah. We're going to be talking to them about their growth because they're quite new. What are some of the things that they've accomplished in the, I think, 18 months that they've been around? What are some of the struggles they're having? That's on the show. If you haven't heard the show before, Cluby, what is the show all about? Who are we speaking to?
If you're an ambitious entrepreneur who wants to grow their business and fast track their career, this is the show for you. We amplify, advocate, and catalyze entrepreneurship, startups, and small business.
Okay, let's get into
careers.
It. You've said it so well. We have to get into it. Let's keep the energy up. Neville, what do you think of what's going on here in studio?
I like the energy. You asked about a first impression.
Yes.
You both make good first impressions.
Oh, well, thank you.
The energies are different.
Yes.
I think sometimes the mistake people make is that they feel they have this high energy to make a good impression.
Yeah. No.
And they don't. You know, the first impression is about how do we create or develop what we call professional competence.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter who we are. We kind of want to come across as professionally competent.
And I think that's music to all the future CEOs' ears out there. Just very, very quickly, tell us who you are, where you're from. Give us a little bit of an update on your background and why we have invited you here and are using you as our expert.
Oh, sure.
I own the
Dale Carnegie training franchise in Gauteng.
Okay.
And really why we're here is that our organization really it focuses on how do we as individuals engage more effectively with others so that we can be more effective. Successful communities are built around successful businesses. Successful businesses are run by or managed by successful people. Dale Carnegie Training helps develop and create successful people.
Now, hold on. Dale Carnegie, that's a name that is not just, it's not a small name. There's millions and millions of copies of a very famous book that he wrote a very long time ago that are still in circulation today. Just tell us a little bit about that.
In the early 30s, 1930s, mid-30s, around about the time of the Depression, he published the book How to Win Friends and Influence People.
By the way, I read this book when I was about 14 because I was really struggling to win friends. not really. But, okay, very, very interesting book. Sorry, I'm interrupting you. I'm trying to be smart and facetious, but maybe it's not working. Go.
But about the book, I mean, one of the things that technology is doing, it's creating this lack of communication. So now the impression is we're not connecting well with people because we're relying on texting, SMSing, and social media. And, in fact, they republished the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People in the Digital Age, to show that these interpersonal skills are more relevant today than they've ever been.
Than ever before, correct.
Mm.
Let's go back to the question at hand.
Yes.
How to make a first impression last, especially in a networking environment. Listen, my man, I came into studio, you're running late, you're here early, on time, before time, and the way you're dressed made a lasting impression on me. If you're listening, obviously you can catch a picture of what Neville looks like on our Twitter account that is future_CEOs, and you can see how well he had made a lasting impression on us. Tell us about how you dress making a great impression.
Look, professional competence is what we spoke about a little moments ago. But really the first image factor that we focus on is our appearance. It's the first thing people look at. It's what they see. We're visual, we're social creatures, so we engage visually. So the way we dress, it does make a statement about who we are. Now, in our line of business, we choose to dress a certain way. In another line of business, of course, you've got to dress appropriately. I think the general rule that we come across in from Dale Carnegie's perspective is always dress one up. So to make that first impression and to make it a good lasting impression, it's always easier for me to take my jacket off if I don't need it than to find a jacket or a tie for that matter. if I need one. Mm. So really the rule of thumb from that perspective is dress one up. Dress one up.
Okay.
So I guess I'm concerned that when we speak about dressing being something of value and making an impression, we then devalue the rest of what makes a really good impression. Let's move there, because I don't want it to be too superficial, although we live in a, I guess we can say it, a superficial world. Maybe that's not the right term. Maybe you can correct the term, Neville. But we do take things at face value, but there's more to it, isn't there?
Yeah, correct. Look, professional competence, I'm going back to it all the time, but our appearance is the first.
Yeah.
How we communicate is second. Our attitude and self-control is the next one. And it's how we connect and engage with people. So it's how we relate to them. Those combined create professional competence. So Gareth, what you're saying is correctly right. We can't say it's how we dress. Because the person with the most expensive suit is going to get the prize.
Yeah.
That's not the case.
And that's, I think, what a lot of people think, isn't it?
Absolutely. And in fact, I was having a conversation just yesterday with one of our clients. And what they were saying is, do I really have to, when people are getting greedy now, do I have to dress and be smart and it's all about money? No, it's not. It's about making a difference. And that's the other components. It's our attitude, self-control, and how we relate to people. So part of making a great first impression would be something simple. For example, often, and I look at the ladies now, I'm looking at you now. So if we look at that process, often ladies go to a meeting, for example, with a handbag, a laptop, a diary or a notebook of some sort. And you're walking into a meeting looking like a pack horse. And that doesn't create a good first impression. So if you have a lot
of things... Not that you look like a horse, but that you're carrying a lot of stuff.
No, so we have this.
No, I mean, you know.
Absolutely. And what we're going to be aware of is rather just walk in with one bag on wheels and have all the things that we need in the bag. I mean, our handbags, ladies can stay in the car. Mm. And I think the mistake that men make, Gareth, is they don't realize the importance of freshening up.
Mm.
Women do that incredibly well.
We do.
Yep.
Spritz of deodorant. I'm a big fan of Zambuck, believe it or not. Mm. But lip gloss on the lips or Zambuck or something.
Yep.
Just kind of going feeling a bit more, you know, fresh. Mm. Freshen up, man. So spray the deodorant. Maybe have that aftershave. And whatever it is. Not cheesy, please. You know, sometimes people got this overshave.
Oh, yeah.
You walk in, it's not like someone hit you with a perfume bomb. We don't mean that. Just freshen up. You know, those things also help with that first impression.
Let's move this into the relating side.
Mm. And the conversating side.
Yeah, exactly.
Conversational side.
So we walk into a room. When does the first impression actually occur? Is it when we walk into the room or is it when we interact with the person for the first time?
And what is great conversational chemistry? What does that mean?
Okay.
I've heard that a lot.
Okay, so the conversational chemistry, I think a lot of people are challenged in that space as to what to say, what do we talk about. So the general rule is avoid weather and avoid traffic.
Well, but hold on, what happens?
Because everyone talks about those things.
What happens if the weather's topical?
Like it's hailing in Joburg.
We're not going to make a good first impression.
Okay.
We talk about it. But for example, Gareth, if I engage with you, I know for a fact that I can talk about where your passion lies, making a difference. So we can connect on that, job creation, making a difference, stimulating communities. That's important. Shlubi, for you, what are you?
I'm starting to see a mountain bike. Heard that.
Okay, so there you go. But in terms of that process, I mean, you're very active around HIV and AIDS. I mean, you know, you're a spokesperson for that. Now, I know that just from a little bit of research. We haven't met before today. And that creates a connection that maybe others wouldn't know about. So if we did that little bit of research, then we can make an effective first impression. So I've been a stalker. But then I could dialogue with you and I can say, you know, discovery stats tell us that the highest HIV rates, actually between 12 and 16-year-olds. That's sad. Also, what a lot of women maybe don't know is that they have a much higher risk than men are for a whole lot of reasons. And we can't get that now. But to have a dialogue with you, Shlubi, we can have a connection. We can have a dialogue. Why talk about the weather?
Okay.
And I think that's the point. That's how to make a good impression.
Now, what's interesting with what you're saying is that we're not talking about us in that interaction.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're walking in armed with knowledge about the other person, whatever that knowledge happens to be.
Sure.
And we then go in and we talk to them about what they're interested, what they're interested in, or what their interests are.
Sure.
I mean, I think that's what you're saying here.
Hands down, Gareth. And remember, it's not about being a stalker, you know.
Sure.
Don't phone my PA and find out that I have three daughters, what their names are, and then talk to me about my kids. That's stalkerish, man. That is, you're so too familiar there. So it's just about the things that I'm possibly genuinely interested in. So when we become genuinely interested in other people, That should make a difference. See,
keeping it real, Neville.
That's it.
Keeping it real.
Should be exactly right. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what our race, culture, color, or creed is, and that's important in this country. If I'm a newlywed and you're a newlywed, we can connect. Doesn't matter if, again, the same scenarios, what our faith is, etc. But if I've just had a baby and you've just had a baby, we can connect. And that's what this is about. So creating that first impression is leveraging the connection. And again, avoiding the obvious stuff like the weather and the traffic and those things.
Can we get into my question now?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, of course, you jumped in with your question and it was answered superbly, by
Beauty
the way.
And the Beast, nice. Beauty and the Beast. Yeah, so it's true.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. So let's then, we walk into a room. We are confronted by a group of people. Maybe some of them are looking at us, you know, side-eyeing us.
Yep.
And is that the first impression? Or is the first impression when I walk up to you, shake your hand, take your arm a little bit, pull you in, look into your eyes, whatever the case is, I mean, look into your eyes. It sounds a little.
No, that's good.
But
that's
I mean, you must act eye contact.
Yeah,
we call it eye contact. Yeah. Maybe they, you know, get lost in the person's eyes. when is the real first impression?
The visual one happens
within
seconds.
Sure.
In fact, research tells us that women will actually make the first impression really quickly. We talk about something like 3 or 4 seconds.
Mm.
Men, we take about 42 seconds to make our first impression.
Oh, really? 42.
So okay. That's visual if we see an appearance. Men, we generally don't change our minds. Women, once they get to know someone, could potentially change how they feel about someone. So the first impression is visual. The second thing is now we start focusing on how we communicate, our attitude and self-control. One of the biggest mistakes people make walking into a meeting is saying silly things like, sorry, I mean, and the eye, and they're going, and they're doing all these things. When we enter a room, we need to learn how to enter a room. Now, it sounds silly.
It's true.
But you know what? We know we're going to shake our hands if we're shaking hands with our right hand. Make sure nothing's in your right hand. We walk into the room and we look for the host. If we're already in the meeting room and we're the last person there, if it's a business meeting and we're the supplier, we've made a mistake already.
Yep.
Big
Coach
time.
Carter, if you're not 5 minutes early, you're late.
You're late.
Yeah, but to be early is to be on time.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But
in on terms time, of, you're already late.
And also, we're in South Africa. Let's be honest here. This is Cliff Central. We judge people differently. Kluwe, you come late. It's African time. You're black, man. That's it. You're late. I come late because I'm a white guy. I said, sorry. They go, it's okay. So we've got to remember that people are passing judgment based on our culture and what they feel. Nonsense, African time. There are many black business professionals that don't tolerate tardiness.
And there are going to be equally as many white or Indian or purple businesses who
absolutely
are tardy all the time.
Yeah.
And I must admit that I am fairly late. Fairly regularly. But anyway, sorry.
And we've got to work on that. So let's focus. Because that goes to discipline and self-control.
Yep.
Get up, get out of bed, go to the meeting, do the thing. Know if there's roadworks on the M1 that you're going to be delayed by 20 minutes. Don't rely on the radio to tell us. So if we look at that. So then we walk in, we greet the host. The host will then introduce us to other people if necessary. And then allow set-up time for yourself. So when you walk into a room, ideally keep your right hand free. Walk in, shake hands. If it's a social function, similar things apply. We walk into the social environment, always, always bring something for the person that's hosting. Even if they say, hey, bring nothing, we're having a get-together, let me tell you, bring something. Even if it's a gift to say thank you for hosting the event.
Yep.
Okay.
Chocolates, flowers for the lady, chocolates for the gentle, or a bottle of wine or something. Never rock up empty-handed.
That makes me think, did we bring something for Rena for turning two?
Her birthday was just a couple of weeks
okay,
before that.
Okay, and you sorted
that's
that out.
That's maybe our excuse.
Okay.
Right. Okay, so let's then get into this. I want to pull it back. I want to get a little bit direct. Have you ever made a really, really, really poor impression? And please tell us about
that. Yeah, look, to be honest with you, I'd love to say no. You know, we're perfect as individuals. In my line of business, we know all the skills. The reality is, absolutely. I went to a client engagement. I did some research. I found out the gentleman had an MBA. Jonathan,
by
the way, was his
name. Was this before or after?
I was working at Dale Carnegie. So I mean, okay. We know these things. So, okay. I was a sales consultant. I wasn't an owner at the time. I was a sales consultant. And I did my research. And this is where authenticity is important. I did too much research. Maybe I tried to be who I wasn't.
Oh, love that.
When I learned that Jonathan had an MBA, he's come from Investec. He's an investment banker. My opening statement was one of the following. I said, Jonathan, thanks for the time. It's great to be here. Judging from the strategy that you're trying to put in play with your team of people here, I believe our performance processes will align beautifully with your strategic initiatives and objectives. And this will allow us as an organization to map that with your delegates and your staff and your team.
Which sounds great, but...
but I don't speak like that.
Yeah.
But I try to. And that's what Jonathan said. How down to earth was he? What a respectful guy, he says.
What are you saying?
Phew, Nev, that sounds very complicated. I hope it can work. And he introduced us as HR person who's joining us in the meeting. And I kind of struggled to connect after that with Jonathan. Look, we recovered, did some engagement, but I believe we could have got a lot more business had we connected better in the beginning.
So, Neville, don't try to be too funny or too intelligent, or don't try to be something that you're not.
Be yourself. Yeah. 100%. You're spot on. And that's the mistake I made there. You know, trying to be too clever.
You know what? And then you get those people or environments whereby a person doesn't know when to stop.
Yes.
Elaborate a little bit on that. When do you know when to kind of finish off or tail end the conversation?
You know, if we're going to a meeting with someone, we should have a code word or a safe word or a let's leave word, you know? I think that'd be one way to do it.
Yeah.
I think when we find that we're talking too much about ourselves, as Gareth was mentioning earlier, maybe we've got to stop talking and start listening. And I think those are things we've got to work on. So in a social environment and the people are talking, I'm an extroverted personality. I love the limelight. Phoebe, I think you kind of can relate
to that. I do. You know what? Why is he looking at me? You know what, Neville? I do, but I'm a great listener at the same time.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying? So I hopefully Gareth will tell me this because we've been to a lot of events together.
I'm listening before before I pass judgment.
I really want to strike that balance because you want to be part of the conversation and add value. You know, I hopefully I add value to conversations, not just blurb a big egotistical Subi time, Subiville moment.
Okay.
need to have a video camera on the show because the things that happen. But it's about the balance. You want to be in the conversation, but also you want to be a great listener.
Yeah, and if maybe as an extroverted personality, let's spend 30% of the time talking. Let them do 70% of it. Let us listen 70% of the time. We need that skill. An introverted individual needs the skill to let their light shine and be comfortable there. If we can make them feel comfortable and
great leadership skills.
That's what we drive. And that's where influence comes in.
That's great leadership.
And a great CEO will understand his team better, manage them better, if he listens to them more. Because one of the things that a CEO does in an organization is he paints the vision, or she paints the vision. And when they've painted the vision, the managerial work's got to be done. Someone's got to drive process too. And that's why it's important that we understand our people, because we incentivize and motivate them differently.
And I think what we would say it a little bit differently, because we like the idea of painting the vision. It's used quite a lot though. So I think when we're talking about this idea of listening and painting a vision, let's describe it perhaps as the CEO is there to build a bridge. Because he has to build a bridge. He has to build a bridge between your very personal, deep-rooted values and the vision that we're painting. And then the person on the left or the right, their deep-rooted values and beliefs, he has to paint or build a bridge between the vision and them as well.
And he creates alignment. If we listen, we can create that alignment. If we don't listen wholeheartedly, then we can't align your personal goals and visions to my company's goals and vision. When they disalign, we don't have engagement. And we don't get buy-in from our team or our staff. And as a result of that, we don't perform like we could.
So here's another thing that happens, of course. Lubian, you'll relate to this, I'm sure. Not because you do it, but you've seen it happen. Where you walk into a room, you judge someone because maybe they don't look the part.
Yep.
But you begin to talk to them and suddenly you're like, wow, I underestimated this person. Just talk us through some of the things that we shouldn't do as we look at someone and maybe judge them in a certain kind of way. Judging is good. But judge wisely, or I don't know what the Bible says exactly. There's a nice phrase, but judge a wise judgment.
Okay, so if we look at, let's look at the obvious first. Let's look at someone that has a handicap, a physical, a disability that we can observe, in a wheelchair, maybe got a prosthetic leg. Sometimes we look at people and we feel sorry for them. That's an insult to that person. So to create a great first impression with that person, we talk to them like we talk to anybody else. They stand in the line like everybody else. Engage them normally. They are used to it. So let's just give them that respect. And I think if we do that, we create a great impression with them. On the other side of it, if it's something that's not, you know, we just judge the person or the book by its cover, we all know that we must not do that. I mean, in your acting, for example, maybe could be some people say, you're such a cow, or you're this or that. Meanwhile, you're a lovely individual, but you're playing a role. So that persona now, they judge us by that. That's the wrong perception. So how do we manage that? And what we've got to be aware of as individuals is that we say, let me make my own judgment. Let me take the advice of others.
These are such great skills that you're teaching us, because we are created to connect just as human beings.
Correct.
And sometimes to just get that extra distance, you know, you need a great skill set. And these are tools that you're giving the future CEOs out there. Continue.
So if we look at the actual structure, we say, let me find out about other people. Let me get the opinion of the team or of others. But let me go and make my own judgment. Because you know what? If our personalities align, we might get on really, really well. I like you no matter what someone else says about you. But if someone says, oh, you're such a wonderful person. Oh, man, Gareth, you're so great. You're such an intense guy. Awesome. You're so great to speak with. And I find it difficult to converse with you. I'm going to be disappointed. So that expectation needs to be managed. So I've got to go in there. Okay, I heard that. Wonderful. Let me meet the guy and make my own judgment. Or let me meet that person and make my own judgment. And therein lies creating a great first impression.
You know, I think of Clive Butko. He was here. I mean, if there's ever a place you want to go for some wisdom, Clive Butko is the man. But he came here and he said that when he employs someone, he tries to pull them into three different scenarios so you can see how they behave and how they react.
Nice, guys.
And I think that's what we're hearing here as well. Certainly from a judgment perspective, make sure that you see them in different environments behaving in different ways. Flippy?
What do I have to ask? Personality types.
How
do you engage with somebody who is your kind of person or completely different to who you are and what you know?
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, we're all different.
We are.
But at the same time, we should be able to connect.
How can you help us with that? You know, the reality is self-confidence comes from self-awareness. If I'm self-aware and I know where my strengths lie, I can play to those cards. I also need to be aware, though, that if I'm engaging with someone and I've got to let their light shine. So let's say, for example, Hubie, you and I have a meeting one-on-one. It'll be a great meeting, a lot of whiteboarding. But I know that if I'm going to meet with Gareth, for example, I've got to pay attention to listening more, maybe make notes, and focus on an agenda. I don't need an agenda.
Hubie, are you taking notes?
I am.
sorry, here I am interrupting again.
So that's important. And then we've got to take appropriate risks. I think, you know...
Like that.
I think sometimes we're afraid to take risks, and we got to take them. I think the best way to put it is if we're running an organization and we want to employ different people and extra individuals, sometimes we employ people on our own gut feel. And our CEOs that we engage with, and South Africa needs entrepreneurs, make no mistake, we're going to only employ people on our own instincts. And we've been successful on our gut instincts. But a great leader might do the following. I like you. I'm going to work with you. I want you to be interviewed by my rest of my team members.
Perfect. Beautiful.
Now, that might be a very difficult thing for a rainmaking type CEO to do. But when he gets buy-in from his team, they're motivated, they're engaged, and they won't leave for just a simple salary increase. And that's where we create sustainability in business, for individuals, and again, in communities.
Wow.
Very nice.
Wow.
Very, very, very nice. I hope that you are all taking notes at home or wherever you happen to be. I think if you're at work and your boss happens to see that you've got an earbud in your ear and you listen to Future CEOs, they're not going to mind. So don't worry about that. Here's time is moving here.
Wow,
sure.
Let's ask one or two more questions and then we'll turn the time over to you just to round us all off, Neville. So
prepare. I'll make my notes.
What's the best opening line that you've ever heard?
From a sales engagement point of view, someone brought in the Zimbabwean $1 trillion note.
Yeah.
And he flashed it to the buyer and said, is money just wasted here? And he flapped it around and he started his sales meeting. That's one of the greatest openings I've ever seen. And what was nice is the person actually asked him, can I keep the note? And he said no, because it expires. And it was just the way he closed it off. He really made a really great impression there. That's one of the better openings I've seen on a coaching call.
The worst opening line you've ever heard?
Well, I've got to go to the personal side of things, and I think they're making songs about it now. You know, what's your star sign? What's your... No, just kidding.
Oh, my gosh.
Please don't let
it go there. Yeah.
There's two that come straight away. Are you pregnant? Congratulations. That line of thing, don't ever do that.
Sure.
And, you know, that's the first, most certainly. And then calling someone by the wrong name. Those are the two. When we've lost that, I think we disconnect straight away. Those are my two. Equally bad.
Yeah. And they were pretty bad.
I think I've done one of them about once or twice.
I think we all have.
Motivate and inspire our future CEOs. Just wrap it up for us nicely.
Creating a great impression.
Yeah.
I think what we've got to understand is there's secrets to leading with assertiveness that we've got to be aware of. And we've got to understand that no is a complete sentence. Mm. So what we have to learn to do as CEOs and leaders of businesses is we can't just say no. We've got to share and soften that. So an advice we'd share would be say, repeat the message that the person has to say. You know, may we do the following? Can I implement this project? Don't say no. Say, if I understood you correctly, you want to implement that project. Is that correct? And they say yes. Then we've got to say, look, then we can cushion what they have to say by saying, look, I'm glad you brought that up. And then we use a no statement. We say something like, we can't do it for this reason, that reason, the other reason. But have you considered something else?
Mm.
If we can do that as leaders, the impression that we've created will last even longer.
Any great books you recommend us to read?
There's one, Humans Underrated by Jeff Colvin. I'd strongly recommend that. In a sales organization, creating a sales growth culture, definitely I'd go for any form of sales. The nice ones that I've read recently are The Challenger Sales Model.
Mm.
And of course, the must read by Inc.com says the top most influential book is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie.
Neville, it's been a great pleasure having you here in studio. Thank you for a very informative conversation. And we're going to have you back time and time again. Prepare yourself. That's Dale. And I don't want to mess up your surname. Yeah. So go for it.
That's
Dale.
Neville DeLucia.
Neville from the Dale Carnegie Training Organization. Correct. Here in South Africa.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much. All right.
Thank you so much.
After the break, we are going to be talking startups, startup challenges, and a spa.
Take me back.
All right. We'll see you right after this.
Ciao. Thank you.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com. Cliff Central Revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.